Welcome to Coastal Connection. I'm Brian Russo. All other topics and conversations took a back seat to Hurricane Sandy this week, as Mother Nature pummeled this region and our entire coastline with one of the strongest storms ever to make landfall in the United States. All you have to do is take a look at a few pictures coming from the Jersey Shore or New York City to realize just how close our region came to unprecedented damage. But still, Sandy hit our region hard, impacting thousands and displacing many others. Assateague Island National Seashore was very hard hit, as was Chrisfield, Maryland. Coastal Delaware was underwater in many places, as were many businesses and houses in Ocean City. Coming up this hour, we aren't going to focus on the devastation per se, but rather we'll bring you the stories of people who lived through it and are now digging out of the damage Sandy left behind. And we'll find out what people are doing now to move forward and try to get back to some sense of normalcy. Later in the show, we'll hear from Governor Martin O'Malley, Senator Barbara Mikulski, and politicians and town officials from all over the coastal region. We'll hear from a photographer who waded through rising waters and torrential rains to capture some amazing snapshots of this epic storm. We'll also hear from John Fager, the owner of Fager's Island in Ocean City, which endured substantial damage. And he'll speak to some alarming hoax photographs that were circulating on social media, including one that made it seem like one of his luxury bayfront hotels was on fire. But first, we bring you the story of Amy Copeland. She lives in downtown Ocean City near the base of the Route 50 bridge in a second-floor apartment. The town of Ocean City announced a mandatory evacuation of downtown Ocean City south of 17th Street. As the storm approached, Amy chose to stay. She says, for a number of reasons, she now regrets.
As soon as it started hitting Sunday evening and the water probably hit about 3 feet, I started to realize maybe I was in a bit of danger, you know. I went on the deck, looked all around me, and the water picked up the metal dumpster in my parking lot, and it started to float down the street and hit the building next to me. And when big, heavy things like that floated by, and it was Sunday evening and the storm was far away, That's when I started getting a little bit worried. I sort of hunkered down Sunday night. I woke up Monday morning, and that's when it got scary because I went out on the deck to take pictures that people wanted. I heard some lady from like a street away like yelling for help and stuff like that. And that's when I started to realize, oh my God, this is getting really bad. I know all these people are on the first floor and I'm on the second floor, but it's still early in the storm. But yeah, after looking around, I walked back into my apartment, and that's when I lost cable, I lost internet. But I still thought I was going to be okay. I had power, and I could charge my phone and do all that. But within the hour, I guess fires and things started happening, and the city turned off the power down there.
Yeah. So talk about that moment when you've got water all around you, it's getting cold. Mm-hmm. And then the power goes out and you're standing there in the midst of a hurricane in the dark. What's going through your head?
A little bit of terror, because with the electricity turned off, you can't see I couldn't see anymore what was going on around me. Part of me felt stupid, you know. I decided to stay, you know.
What did you do during the time, like when you were sitting there in blackness?
I have to say, my phone was starting to die, my battery. I had something to charge it up about 2 or 3 times. But when I charged it up for the last time and realized it, and the worst of the storm was coming, I called my mom, and I'm not going to tell a lie, I cried to my mom and said, I made the wrong decision, you know. I can't see. All I'm hearing is banging and crashing, sparking, you know, occasionally a text saying things are on fire. And I was terrified. I know my mom was crying. And, you know, I just promised her that every hour, you know, because I didn't want to use the battery, that I would text her, I'm okay, I'm okay. And at that point, you know, I was pretty scared. I got in my 0-degree sleeping bag and sort of pulled it over my head on my couch and just tried to hunker down for the night, you know. People were like, the worst is coming. I was terrified. I didn't eat that whole day.
And did you sleep?
Hunkered down. I did get some sleep, a little bit of sleep. I mean, I pulled my 0-degree bag over my head. I luckily had a building next to me, so it, I think, protected my windows from blowing in.
Right.
And I tried to push myself to sleep because there was, you know, to be up all night, I would have been I probably got a couple hours of sleep. I woke up at like 6 o'clock in the morning, and soon after that, the power came back on.
Yeah. So you went a good 24 hours without eating anything.
Which I was completely stocked with food and water. You know, I was completely prepared. But at that point, you know, I was just sort of overwhelmed.
Right. And eating was the last thing on your mind.
Eating was the last thing on my mind at that point. Absolutely.
So when you went out after hunkering down for the night and you went out and you surveyed the damage as the storm passed, what did you see, and did that terror subside as the storm moved farther away?
It did. I remember waking up at 6:45 and the power was on. I plugged my phone in immediately and called my dad. And immediately I was just like, oh my God, communication with somebody, you know, because I had, you know, I was alone. I had no communication with anybody. But I remember, you know, walking outside, the wind was still whipping and it was super cold. But I remember one of the first things I saw was a man walking over the Route 50 bridge. And I just yelled to him. I'm just like, hello, I have no idea what's going on. Can you tell me what's going on? And he informed me about some of the stuff that was going on. Certain things were still closed. I mean, there was still tons of water all around me. I couldn't get out of my place. So I just stayed hunkered down until they reopened 62nd Street down and then from 17th Street down. And I just remember when I saw the first trucks coming, whether it be worker trucks or police cars. I mean, when I walked out on my balcony that morning, I know a lot of people had been rescued. I felt like I was the only person down there. So it was still scary, you know, but it was a relief, you know, also. Like, I had made it through that night, which everyone said was the roughest night.
I know, you know, we're sitting here at your place of employment, you're at your work, and you told me before we started that this is the first time you've been out of your house in several days. You know, you go through Ocean City now, all the streets are open, water's subsiding. It's a sunny day in Ocean City. I mean, does it seem surreal that it almost feels like nothing happened, but you have all this, you're really coming down from a really tumultuous experience?
Yeah, I feel like... you know, I sort of experienced, you know, a lot of what other people didn't experience. So, yeah, I've had complete trouble focusing at work and not having it in my mind. To me, I'm still standing in my apartment with 4 to 5 feet of water all the way around me, wondering what's going to happen.
That was Ocean City resident Amy Copeland talking about her experience being stuck downtown in Ocean City during Hurricane Sandy. Donna Mason owns the Waterside Inn in Chincoteague Island, Virginia. She says her community was hit with flooding and minimal damage to the shoreline and some properties. But for the most part, Chincoteague was spared by Hurricane Sandy. And she says there's an unbelievable sense of relief that everyone is rallying behind today.
This is the worst storm I've seen since 1962. I was a child in that storm, but this is the most water I've seen on Chincoteague since then.
Talk about, as the waters were rising and the surge was coming in, what it was like to be on Chincoteague Island.
We're pretty vulnerable, and we know that. We're surrounded by water, and that's the good thing and the bad thing about being on an island. But when storms come, it's certainly the bad thing. The tide was rising, and of course there were threats that it was going to be on a full moon, and the northeast wind is the worst kind of wind for us. It brings in the tides and makes them higher and worse than what they would be. Fortunately for us, by Monday, that the wind had shifted to the north, which helps take the water out. So we missed the worst of it. It didn't hit like it did in that March storm with a high tide, a northeast wind, and a full moon, which is what they were threatening that we were going to have. The spirit of the people of Chincoteague is certainly in the forefront and helping each other out. And you pick up a broom and you get water going and you start cleaning up and fixing up. And certainly you drive around the island and you see that.
One of the hardest hit regions of the shore was Chrisfield, Maryland. Hundreds of people are still in emergency shelters, and the damages from Hurricane Sandy are substantial and will take a long time to fully calculate. Earlier this week, Governor Martin O'Malley pledged his support to, quote, help rebuild Chrisfield stronger than it was before. Deborah Sorensen and her husband live on a sailboat in a nearby marina in Chrisfield. They just moved to town from Tangier Island a few months ago to renovate one of Chrisfield's historic homes. Deborah spoke with our managing producer, Tara Boyle, yesterday by phone.
And we just went by to see the house to make sure it was okay. We drove our truck over there, and we were in the house, and suddenly the water just started rising. It rose so quickly that we were trapped in the house, and luckily we had our dogs with us, but we had bottled water and a bag of Oreos all night, and we did find a candle, but it was sort of scary because our roof was coming off and water was coming into the house, and we're not even in a flood zone area. People in Chrisfield said they have never seen the water come up like this ever.
And so what did it sound like?
When just about as it got dark, I think the powers that be at Chrisfield realized that the water wasn't going to recede, and people were trapped in homes and their cars were damaged and there wasn't going to be any way out. And nobody knew if it was going to continue coming up. I mean, we had water in our home. It looked like a river going through it. And it was moving pretty quickly. And I think that, you know, trees were going down. And suddenly we started hearing these sirens, and I was up on the upstairs, you know, just kind of looking out, and we see a Humvee come by, a National Guard Humvee come by and take our next-door neighbors away. And all through the night, we saw people in skiffs picking up people and great big National Guard trucks. And when we got up early in the morning, I mean, the neighborhood was just empty. So I think we were like one of the last people there. And we did make our way back to Summers Cove to check on our boat, and we really thought we were had lost the boat, but she did really well. There were quite a few other boats here that were damaged, but we still really grateful and really lucky, really fortunate.
When those Humvees were going past and the skiffs, did you think about evacuating?
I did, but that was one of the benefits of, and it's sort of ironic, I was on the phone, on Facebook, on my little smartphone with my friends in Tangier, and I was so worried about them. I wasn't actually paying that much attention to what was going on in Chrisfield because of, you know, their location. But what happened is that the tide just swept past and over Tangier, but it came into Chrisfield, and the way the land is angled, and it just kept rising because it was there was no place for it to go. So the water was stacking up, and the wind was just driving it higher and higher. So I did know that they were out there, and it gave me a great deal of comfort to know that I could call, and I'd probably be on a Humvee in about 10 minutes. We just watched the water level really carefully, and we made a decision that if it got to a certain point that we were calling, and it just didn't get to that point. It was a really long night. We had no idea the day was going to come like that. There was no indication from the reports that Chrisfield would somehow suffer great flooding, but, you know, it's amazing.
That was Deborah Sorensen of Chrisfield, Maryland, speaking about her personal experiences during Hurricane Sandy. We also heard from Donna Mason in Chincoteague, Virginia, and Amy Copeland in Ocean City. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back to hear what the politicians are saying about Hurricane Sandy. I'm Brian Russo, and you're listening to Coastal Connection.